You're listening to the Mental Health and Ministry Podcast. We're your hosts, Austin Brown and Tim Stoner, mental health workers with a background in ministry.
Ministry is messy and presents unique challenges when it comes to addressing issues of mental and emotional health.
This podcast is about equipping ministry workers with a holistic perspective of mental, emotional, and spiritual health. We're glad you're here.
All right, so to kind of continue the conversation about anxiety, as a kingdom worker, someone who is trying to walk alongside others, serving others, whether they have a church office that people come to, or they get to stand up in front of people and speak, or maybe they're even on the grounds domestically or abroad in a missionary kind of setting.
Yeah.
And they start to realize and understand, or maybe they've known for a while, that anxiety is something that is, a lot of times the language we'll use is struggle with. You know, I struggle with anxiety. I want to kind of speak to that a little bit.
Yeah.
Because there are typically some, there are some questions that come up, you know, and I hopefully we kind of address some of the shame piece to it, but.
Yeah, we can do that.
But there's some questions too about, can I continue to do this? Like, can I continue to serve? Can I continue to lead while experiencing things or working on these things? And so I'm just curious how you tend to talk about that or conceptualize it, if you could speak to that a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You know, when someone in ministry is struggling with anxiety, you know, we talked in the last episode about how that in and of itself can bring up shame and feeling like there's something wrong with you and that you're broken. And of course, none of those things are true. Your body is responding in exactly the way that it was designed to respond and how God designed your nervous system. But when it comes to somebody in ministry, the shame can be so much higher because for whatever reason, you feel like you should be able to handle this. You shouldn't be feeling this, right? Because you're in ministry, right? You should be able to manage this. And so I think a lot of times what I've seen, both with growing up on the mission field myself, from the 6th to 12th grade, to seeing clients come into my office off of the mission field, a lot of times by the time they get to me, they've been fighting it for so long that they've missed a lot of the earlier signals that maybe they needed to take a break. Maybe they needed to slow down, and they've pushed it back so far that their nervous system is just really calling uncle of like, nope, I'm done.
Yeah.
Right. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You know, one of the things that I believe we want to make space for is anytime we're talking about this, it is the Holy Spirit that leads in these situations, right? And so we're just coming alongside and trying to help people make sense of what's going on and maybe even be able to help them hear more clearly what God would be saying. And so, you know, if we're talking about what someone in this situation might do, what steps they might take, it's it's theoretical, you know. So it's kind of giving that disclaimer.
For sure.
When someone is in that space that you're talking about, right, where they've been in that spot for so long, their nervous system's been on fire for so long, and yet here they are in a place where there's a lot of, I would say it's probably fair to say there's a lot of expectations. You know, where those expectations come from. Sometimes it's even just internal, like what I expect of myself in this situation can be pretty even more sometimes extreme. But you know, maybe there are board members or elders that are part of this ministry that you're a part of, or maybe you have coworkers, or maybe you have even the people that you are trying to serve have expectations of you. You know, so you have all these different expectations, but yet your nervous system has been on fire for so long. What do you do with that? What are the things maybe that you look at, or the questions that would be helpful to ask in that spot?
Right. Well, I would probably look at it in terms of a scale. So if you're feeling a mild sense of your nervous system responding, and maybe it's feeling overwhelmed, maybe you notice that there's more adrenaline pumping through you, so you're getting more tense and irritable on a day-to-day basis, then with somebody, whether you're in ministry or not, I think picking up on that cue that, okay, I need a small break, right? I need to spend a night at home with my family because I've been diving into pouring into others for so long, or I need to step into a place where I'm pouring into myself, right? And recharging. and maybe I need to say no to this thing that, yes, it's a good thing, but maybe I need to discern, is God calling me to just say yes to this good thing and add it onto my plate? So on a smaller level, I think you can have smaller breaks or smaller just boundaries that you set up there. The challenge is when people ignore that, and oftentimes in ministry they do, of like, no, I should be doing this thing. I should be saying yes. Like, you know, say you're on the mission field and like, hey, my supporter, like people are supporting me to be here. So I have to push, I have to go, I have to say yes. And almost seeing that as a morality issue, like it's wrong if I say no, which isn't true. It isn't true. But if somebody pushes past that and they keep going, then that kind of stacks up and becomes a higher scale of, okay, now I've hit the point where I've said yes to so many things and I'm so overwhelmed and I have nothing more to, I feel like I have nothing more to give. And I'm trying to ask God for more. I'm doing all the right things, but I'm not functioning. Like I can't keep doing this. Then I think you've hit the point where you need a bigger break. Like maybe you need a sabbatical. Maybe you need to, you know, maybe you need to pursue some therapy. And I think just basically the scale of what you're experiencing will determine the scale of what you need, if that makes sense, if you're willing to listen.
I think it's interesting because I think a lot of kingdom workers fall into the, since I care about this so much, I need to run myself ragged for the sake of the cause.
For the sake of the cause. Yeah.
But it just seems so easy that you, if you do this long enough, then you will, somebody else is going to be like, you need to step down or, you know, you just won't be able to function.
Yeah. I would question, okay, is God calling you to just keep pushing and keep pushing, and keep pushing? Or is that your own guilt? Right. Yeah. Or the culture, the ministry culture that says, give, right? Because in ministry, people around you are going to, if someone's willing to say yes, they're going to take it.
Yeah.
Same is true in corporate America too, but you know, if you're willing to say yes, people are going to receive that. And they're not going to be discerning for you. Is this a good yes? They're not going to be discerning for you. Do you have it to give? That's something you alone can do between you and God. Am I supposed to say yes to this?
Man, I think that is a great question to ask frequently, right? Is this something that I'm supposed to do? Even if you're not necessarily noticing your nervous system firing all the time. Like that's just a great question.
Yeah.
And might actually keep us from getting into some of those situations that maybe you are contributing in a unhealthy way. A lot of times that probably happens by saying yes to things or trying to do things or achieve things that were never ours to try and achieve or do in the first place.
Yeah. Exactly. So,
and even looking at your physical, social, emotional energy as resources that aren't, infinite, and being able to see them as, oh, there's a limit. Like you aren't God. And there at some point you're going to have to say, I need this time with my family. I need to have a day where I'm not, where I am recharging spiritually and I'm reconnecting with God and I'm reconnecting with my family, and that sabbatical, the time where you're engaging in Sabbath so that you can keep doing what you're doing and doing it well.
Yeah. And I'm so glad you brought up the concept of Sabbath, because I think if we really look at, okay, what is God calling me to do? He set the example. He set the example with the Sabbath. He set the example when he created the universe on the seventh day he rested. Probably not because he needed to, but because he wanted to set the example of, you are limited. God's not limited, but you are limited. Even if you're in ministry, you have limits and you've got to take breaks. You know, you've got to. And we see Jesus doing it in scripture. You know, he was in the middle of ministry situations where he was healing people and people were still lined up. And when he felt he hit the point where he felt overwhelmed or he needed to recharge with God or he needed to go be with his smaller core group of support, he left. He said no to good things. He said no to healing opportunities because he recognized, I need to get away and I need to pray. I need to recharge. And he did it again and again and again. Set the example for us that it's okay to say no. It's okay to rest. It's okay to move away when our nervous system and our anxiety is telling us, hey, I'm feeling at capacity right now.
I think it's easy to, you know, like as, especially being in ministry, I think a lot of times, you know, I had the mindset, like I have to work harder than everybody at my church. And, but a lot of times it turns into, I have to keep up with my culture and what a great opportunity to set the example for rest, you know, and to say like, God didn't create us to be slaves to, you know, our world around us. Like he did create us to, you know, rest and recharge and enjoy things and not live a treadmill life of just constantly meeting deadlines.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and when I reflect on, like, even now I do a lot of volunteer stuff in our church, and I think both I need to discern when it should be a yes or when it's like a no, I need to kind of push that out a couple weeks, and you know, my frequency of when I say yes and when I step in to serve. But also, you know, how amazing would it be if the church were a culture that promoted that too, that when they asked for volunteers, they said, hey, do you have the capacity? What is the desired frequency of when you want to be scheduled, you know, for volunteering? Yeah. You know, because I want you to be taking care of you. Like, how amazing would it be if that culture could shift and model what Jesus showed us? Of, hey, are you okay? Because it's okay if you say no. Like, whoa, like how amazing would it be for someone in ministry even to say to someone else in ministry, it's okay if you can't. Like, I've never heard that happening, but that would be life-giving. Yeah. Life-giving.
My thoughts are bouncing all around. Here, I grew up in small town Midwest, and most churches had one person on staff, and that was their that was the pastor, right? And that's what my dad was one of those, and you know, he preached on Sunday. We lived on right along the interstate, and I remember frequently people would, you know, get stranded. Or stop into the gas station just off the interstate and, you know, asking for help with gas or food. And many years, my father was the one that, you know, they would call. He was kind of the representative of all the pastors in town. And, you know, and so you'd get a call from the gas station and go down and try to deal with helping with the situation that was going on. I remember leaving, you know, vacations early because, you know, somebody in the community had passed away, and, you know, coming back to do a funeral, and him going to do, you know, hospital visits. And there were a lot of things that he was involved in and a lot of things that he did people didn't see. And I don't think that's unique, right, in that world. The community or the crowds don't always know the things that you're dealing with. And even if you're not the only person on staff, it can be very isolating. The ministry world in general is very isolating. Even, you know, people that I've worked with that are in, you know, what are considered mega church situations where there are several on staff, there's a lot of experiences of isolation. And
For sure.
To feel you have this sense of responsibility, and to be able to have somebody come along and say, hey, you know, you're not the only person on the team. You're not the only, you know, we're a body here, and we're in it with you, and it's not all up to you. And that would definitely be life-giving. But on the flip side, when it doesn't seem like that's there, then if I'm not doing it, it's not going to get done. That's kind of what it feels like. And if I'm, and then if it's not getting done, then yeah. I'm failing my community. I'm failing my church. I'm failing the kingdom. Maybe I'm failing God.
Mm-hmm. What Austin said reminded me that our nervous system is designed for community. Is that correct?
That is, you hit the nail on the head right there. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Could you talk about that?
Yeah. So everything in us, like God hardwired us for community, you know, all the way from the beginning of creation, where Adam was walking side by side with Jesus in the garden, and Jesus looks at him and says, "You're lonely. Like, you need another human."
Yeah.
Like, that thought blows my mind that, you know, it just validates from the beginning of creation that we don't just need God, we need people.
Yeah.
And that's not sacrilegious to say, because God said that from the very beginning, walking side by side, "You're lonely. So I'll make a helper for you." So if we look at that from every level, from, you know, when our nervous system is firing up and causing anxiety, to I'm feeling lonely, I'm feeling depressed, I'm feeling isolated. We need community. We need people to help us through that. We can't do it alone.
Mm. Yeah. And I think, and you can speak to this too, whether it's somebody that's been in our office and they are in vocational ministry, or somebody that's would not even call themselves a believer. Mm-hmm. So often there is an element of feeling alone or isolation around these experiences or feelings of anxiety. Being created as relational beings, you know, we're meant to be in relationship with our Father, we're meant to be in relationship with others, is huge.
And absolutely. So
there is an aspect of, you know, I think we touched on it previously, but I want to, I guess, reiterate, especially when we are in those situations where we're leading people, or we're in a position where others are looking to us, that those situations do matter, right? Yeah. And so that's why, part of why our bodies respond the way they do when we are feeling like we're failing, or we feel like we are not able to do it well, or, because they do matter. And the ideal is that the body functions like Paul described in the New Testament, and we all belong to one another, and, you know, each part does its work, I think is the way he says it in Ephesians. And that's not, the body is not always as healthy as it should be either.
Right.
And so it makes sense to wrestle with that and for there to be tension and some anxiety around that. But that doesn't necessarily, I think what we're saying is that doesn't necessarily mean that you just continue to do what you've been doing, right? And just pushing and like,
Like if I sprained my right foot, my left foot is going to have to do a little bit more work as I limp along, right?
Yes.
While my right foot heals. And then once my right foot heals, then we can kind of start operating in a more equal fashion. But, you know, the spiritual body, like the body of Christ, is the same way. If one person needs to take a break, yes, the other parts are going to have to do a little bit more work while that other part heals.
Yes.
And that's okay. That's okay. It's a season, right? And so it's okay for someone in ministry to say, "Hey, I need a break." You know, in fact, what an amazing example that could be for someone who is a leader in ministry to model setting boundaries and model, "Hey, I need to take care of myself. I need to take care of my mental health. I need to take care of my family." Jesus did it when, or God did it when he created the earth on the seventh day. He rested, and he set the example of, "Hey, I'm setting the example for you, whether I really need it or not. I'm setting the example." So for someone in leadership to say, "I'm setting the example for you to take a break, to say no, to set boundaries," that immediately gives people in the rest of the ministry permission to do the same thing.
Mentioned seasons where one part needs to do more work, and this isn't exactly the same situation, but my mind was going to Jesus when he's in the boat with the disciples, and then he lands, and his intention is to get away. I believe mm-hmm. it's not long after he's found out about John the Baptist being beheaded, and so he's getting away, and he lands on the shore, and there are all these people, and the scripture says that he sees them and has compassion because they're like sheep without a shepherd, mm-hmm. yes. right? And so he knows he needs to get away, and he was right. on his way to get away, and yet here are all these people, and he is yeah. moved with compassion. And so what he does, he teaches them and he feeds them,
yep. right?
But then what he does after that is he sends them away.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And he even sends his disciples on ahead in the boat. He's like, go ahead without me. right?
Like, I'm going to stay here for a while. I need a minute. Yeah. I need yeah. a minute. Yeah.
yeah. So I think that there are, you know, just thinking about seasons and what we were talking about earlier, but really discernment is asking that question, God, is this something that you want me to do? Is this something yeah. I'm supposed to do? And it might be hard, and you might not have, you know, a lot of the resources emotionally or mentally that you think you need. And then God say, no, do it anyway. And he shows mm-hmm. up and yeah. does something mm-hmm. amazing.
Or if you need to step out and trust that God is going to, like, it's not just you doing the ministry.
Exactly.
Like, God is doing 99.9% of the work, and
yes,
you know, if,
you're just like, saying yes.
You're a vessel, and to, you know, allow the things you have to just set down and just be like, I know you're sovereign, and I know you're in control.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But then still, at some point, it probably means you're going to send people away. I mean, maybe you don't have to send people away, but yeah. you know, what I mean?
Yeah.
but you are going to take that time. It just might not happen the way we envision.
Yeah.
Right. It's just, I think it's a constant state of discernment,
yeah.
both between you and God, but also between you and what's happening in your body, in your nervous
Excellent.
System,
yep.
emotionally, mm-hmm. mentally, physically.
Yeah,
that's right.
I would like to think that Jesus kind of did a quick scan of between himself with God, like, all right, God, I'm tired, but like, is this something you want me to do? Like,
yeah.
I feel that compassion. I feel that pull. Do I have it? Do I have it in me? Like, to give, like, with your help, do I have it in me?
That's
and
right.
in that moment, it was a yes.
Mm.
And maybe the people begged him to stay longer, and he had to at some point say no. And there were other examples where he said no, like he felt that pull and said no right off the bat. And I like to think it's not so hard and fast. It's a yes or no. It's a doing kind of a body scan, emotional
yep.
scan, spiritual scan of what's my account look like? Am I going to overdraw my account, or do I have a little bit more to give?
Yeah.
And then I need to go recharge.
And so I love the way that John talks about how Jesus handled things. And Jesus says over and over again, things like, I only do the things that my Father tells me to do. I only say the things my Father tells me to say, right? Like, he was mm-hmm. so in tune with what was going on, what he was being called to. Of course, he's perfect, and he's God, right? And so, like, he was in tune with his Father, and he was in tune with what was going on, how he was feeling, I think that's exactly why he knew in the garden that he needed to go pray, because he knew,
yeah.
like, okay, this is so much what's happening. I know what's happening inside of me, and I need to do something with this mm-hmm. now, right? And so
yeah.
we don't get to talk about that very often in a lot of the communities that I've been a part of, at least. So I'm glad that kind of talking about that here,
Same.
That Jesus is an example of
yeah.
being in tune and knowing what's going on with him, and being in tune and knowing what his Father's leading him towards.
Working in ministry, there seem to be, say, for example, you have the person that's the chronic worrier.
You know, if someone is, you know, in your words, a chronic worrier, to be honest, I think that's the way they're trying to manage their own anxiety, by trying to control it. And so if that's their go-to response, their go-to defense mechanism is, when I feel anxious, I try to manage, I try to control, I try to make it stop, or whatever, what have you. Mm. I think my first stance is always to be curious as to, you know, why is this kind of a go-to? And then how can you respond in a different way? One of my favorite tools is stole it from a colleague named Susan Goss, and it's called the circle talk. And it's basically, if you think about your sense of control as like a circle of control, right? And really what the only thing in your control are your thoughts and your reactions, and that's it. Mm. Everything else is out of your control. Mm. And so whenever you try to pull something into your circle of control that's out of your control, that is not yours, that's somebody else's decision or, you know, something else that you have zero control over, no matter what it is that you're trying to control that's out of your control, you're going to feel anxious when you try to manage it. And I see that kind of with people who are struggling with worry, is they're constantly trying to pull things into their circle of control that they have no control over, and that is going to cause anxiety. And so, you know, my first prompt for them is asking yourself, okay, what's in my circle that's not supposed to be? What am I trying to control right now that's out of my control? And when they identify something or tend some things, okay, God, I release that out of my circle. And I think that's, that tool is, it's like a muscle. You have to do it on repeat to build that ability. You know, our brain is a muscle. And so as we start doing something different than we did before, it is going to dig in new neural pathways of, okay, I used to do that, but now I do this. I used to do that, but now I do this. And if you do that on repeat, it gets stronger. Mm. And so that would be my first tool that I would recommend. But let's say you're like I said before, with our conversation on medicine last time, if you're doing all of the healthy responses and you're really trying and it's not working and you're exhausting yourself, it might be time to seek a higher level of care. Just like with exercise, if you're doing all the things and you're not seeing the results you want, okay, maybe you need to go see a trainer, or maybe you need to see a nutritionist or whatever. I see a therapist is the same thing. I've done all the things I know to do and it's not helping. It's not working. So I need to go seek some professional advice, and that's all it is.
Cool. Yeah, I love that.
You've answered this question in different ways, but I guess as a kingdom worker, at what point would you say, look, you really need to see a therapist?
Yeah. I mean, my main criteria for moving on to any what I would call higher level of care, whether that's the next step is counseling or the next step is medication or the next step is, you know, medical care, like whatever it is, my number one question is this impairing your functioning? Is something in you stopping you or keeping you from doing what you know you need to or want to or can do or usually capable of doing? So anytime you hit a level of, I used to be able to do these things and I'm hitting a block and I'm doing everything I can and it's not working, then, okay, what is the next level of care? And that would be kind of the baseline of what I would look for if I were to advise, you know, whatever that next level of care is, you know, including therapy.
If you are walking with somebody else that is experiencing this, there are things that you can do to walk alongside them. If they're over 18, you can't make the appointment for them, right? But you can like do the groundwork, you can do the legwork, you know, research some good counselors in your area and say, hey, this is the person you need to call. Maybe even say, hey, I'll come with you, you know, and I'll sit out in the waiting room while you're in there and, you know, sure, we'll talk about it afterward. Or, hey, why don't you make an appointment and then let's sit down and have coffee after you go and let's talk about how it went. Or, you know, there are things that, you know, maybe can do to think outside of the box a little bit about how to be really intentional in walking with somebody as they continue or engage for the first time in getting professional help.
Totally.
And as a counselor, I think we all would agree, if you are somebody who's been walking alongside and really know and love and care about this person that you're sending into our office, we don't want you to like disappear, take your hands off the wheel. Like, you know, like we need you to be in their lives,
right?
You know, and continue to be there. Mm-hmm. And right. I think the success is so much greater when there is that person or that community for the person in our office that they can go to. And
It's huge.
And have that support, have somebody that's, I think, is, you know, as a kingdom worker, you'd say like, this is over my head. I can't, I, can't engage in this, you know, in this mm-hmm. way. I don't know what to do. And mm-hmm. and so I need to send you to somebody. And that's wise in a lot of cases. But you do know how to be a friend. You do know how to be someone, a brother, a sister in Christ that,
you know how to
love and to care. And so that's what's maybe needed continually, even in, if the person goes into counseling and see a professional. Again, I want to just thank you for taking the time to have a conversation with us. And
yeah,
really do hope anyone that's listening to this knows that they're not alone in it, whether they're the one that they recognize they're experiencing anxiety, or if they're in the situation where they're trying to walk with somebody, mm-hmm. don't really know what to do. Just know that you're not alone in it, that God cares about the situation too. And I'm really thankful for the ways that you've been able to kind of talk through these things with us today, and also in your book. Again, I want to put that in the show notes, just where to find that.
Yeah.
All right. And the book is called Hello Anxiety.
Hello Anxiety. Yeah.
How to Find Peace by Changing Your Response to Anxiety.
Yeah. And I'll say to the listeners out there, you know, whether you're looking at in the book for tips or whatever, or you're needing the next, you've tried all the things and you're needing the next level of care, hopefully hearing the three of us talk today, you'll realize, you know, we're therapists and we're not scary.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, and so just kind of normalizing it. But, you know, therapy can sometimes just feel like this, like it feels like a conversation that is intentional and in depth, and just getting curious about what might be blocking you. So, you know, if you're out there and you're struggling with, man, that seems like such a big step for me, hopefully hearing us talk today, you can be like, hopefully we don't sound that scary.
Yeah.
You know, so just, you know, have the conversation.
And you don't have to lay down on a couch when you come in.
No, unless you want to. It's all up to you.
And, you know, just one last thing, like kingdom workers that are, you know, at the front lines, I'm, as a therapist, I'm thankful that they're meeting up with these people that, or anybody that has issues with anxiety or things like that. Like that's such an important work. And those people are so grateful that they have you in their life.
Well, thanks again, Heidi. And look forward to maybe talking to you at some point again in the future.
Yep.
Sounds good. Love it.
Thank you, Heidi.
Been listening to the Mental Health and Ministry Podcast. The conversations had and material presented on the Mental Health and Ministry Podcast is for informational and educational purposes and is not a substitute for professional therapy or professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.
Incidental music is O Love That Will Not Let Me Go, arranged by Caleb Paxton, recorded by St. Paul Worship Collective.
If you know someone who would benefit from this podcast, please pass it along and feel free to rate and review wherever you get your podcasts.
Ministry and Mental Health is a podcast from Identity and Purpose, PLLC. For questions or to suggest topics for future episodes, send us a message, podcast@identitypurpose.org.
Thanks for listening.